You're bloody soft liberal.
Yeah, exactly.
You're libtard.
Right. I'm a libtard and I like it that way. Okay, so you're going to use that at the end. I'm a libtard and I like it that way.
Oh, no, I thought.
No, you wouldn't.
There'll be loads of other things I put on.
First, yeah. Okay, so are we ready for episode 2?
I think we'll try.
Okay, good.
Deciding that a podcast looking into the science fiction serials that featured in cinemas in the 1930s and beyond was long overdue, Andy and Martin set about rectifying this omission. Having completed the 1936 13-part serial entitled Flash Gordon, made by Universal Pictures and based upon the cartoon strip of the same name created by Alex Raymond, they have decided to continue their running commentary series with Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars from 1938, once again covering all 15 chapters, episode by episode, until the entire story is covered. Naturally, once these are done, Flash Gordon Conquers the Universe will be along before you know it, before they turn their attention onto other serials made in the same era. Hello, and welcome to Space Soldiers, a commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes. Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars, Chapter 2, The Living Dead.
Hello, and welcome back to Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast.
Yay!
Flash
Gordon's Trip to Mars, part 2.
I like how you're cheering us. self-cheering.
Well, somebody has to.
I guess.
Nobody else is going to do it, mate. I might as well do it myself.
Yeah, blowing our own podcasting trumpet, indeed, as ever.
Well, it's more of a tuba, but yes.
So this is chapter 2 of 15. Stop it. Chapter 2 of 15, The Living Dead.
The Living Dead are very appropriate for us too, isn't it? Yes, here we are.
Yes, I know.
Coming from beyond the grave to talk to you today.
I hope not. It's possible, though. We record these things in advance. We could be dead.
Absolutely. Don't Absolutely.
Just don't know.
But suppose you recorded a podcast and nobody listened. Yes, we'd call it our ordinary podcast. Our podcasting life.
You might call it yours, Martin, but
I know. Okay, forgetting, but yes, you're so popular. I forget. Down at the scuzzy end of the podcasting
world. I don't say scuzzy.
We just look up at the beaming heights.
Gutter is the word I would use.
Yeah, we are all of us in the gutter.
Compared, yes, but it's okay. You might climb out of the gutter one day to my sparkly heights.
I'd have to wear very tall shoes.
Yes, you would. So. We are ready, if you are, dear listeners. Thank you for continuing to listen to us and to support
despite
us.
Despite all the nonsense.
Yes. Every Saturday. It's a nice, cosy thought to think of you wherever you are. Maybe you're driving. Don't think I advise that. Driving while you're listening to us? Go on, maybe. I don't know.
Well, only if we make them angry and they want to swerve off the road and go, I'm preposterous, ridiculous for these people. They don't listen.
Where else might they be? They might be having a bath.
They might.
Yeah,
flash in the bath.
Yeah, or well, we know someone fills bird feeders, which is my favourite. Ironing. I used to iron while I listened to podcasts. But
no, I get the impression that you actually iron while you're podcasting.
While I'm podcasting, I did. You know what I do? I slip on Beatrice Roberts dress and some slingbacks, and I iron.
See, ironing, as far as I'm concerned, this rumpled mess you see before you is because I think it's one of the way to subjugate the masses. Ironing subjugates the masses. Wear a clean an iron shirt, subjugated masses.
And yeah, all this time, I didn't know you were a Marxist, and now I know. Wow. And on that bombshell, it's time after 5.
I'll never get through the 50s in this.
3, 2, 1, play.
Go.
Oh, yes. Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars, lest we
I'm
forget.
I'm sure that beam's moved its direction from the first episode.
Oh, has it?
Anyway, I don't know, maybe. Remove all ads now.
Yes, exactly. I've got that problem
as
well.
Go away.
Stop showing me ads.
Sarah Haney is the dialogue director.
Oh, we like Sarah Haney. Sarah C. Ooh. Haney. Sarah
C. Haney. Or Sarah Chaney. Chaney. Maybe she's Lon Chaney's daughter. No. She's split it up.
No. It doesn't work like that.
And Alvin Todd. Ford Beebe's back, though.
Yes, and Robert Hill. It says associate producer here, but I believe he was the actual full-on producer, Barney.
The other thing is these bits behind the titles, sort of a bit like those bits in Mission Impossible, where they should show tonight's episode. Tonight's episode. We haven't seen the Clay Kingdom yet, but we have, really. Yes. And I do like the lightning bolts that are doing the fades as well.
I'm looking out for whether he's Hans Zarkov or Alexis, because this is weird if he says Hans.
Happy is in inverted commas, I noticed, though. That's right. Yeah. And there's Baron, who hasn't turned up yet. Or Montague Shaw, who also hasn't turned up yet. So, you know, and lots of people. It's all men, though, isn't it?
All men, no women.
Interesting. Interesting. Wheeler Oakman, that's a name to hang. Hey, oh! Flashback, you get to read.
That we've seen the thingy.
The Cambric Green job.
The Cambric Green visualizer thing. Chapter 2, The Living Dead. It's beautifully comic strip. This is paying homage more to Alex Raymond's vision, I think.
Indeed.
So,
with proper comic strips.
Ming the Merciless escaping from Mongo lands on Mars and enlists the aid of Azura, Queen of Magic. With comic strip. Oh, gorgeous. Mm. By means of a nitron lamp, they are drawing the atmosphere from the Earth in an effort to destroy it. Mm. Oh, well, I'm glad that cleared that up for me, because I wasn't sure about the nitron. Dr. Zarkov discovers their plan and sets out with Flash Gordon to save civilization.
Whatever his name is.
Yes, whatever his first name is, we're not
fourth
sure.
Fourth picture.
They are about to destroy the nitron lamp when the Martians open fire with a powerful ray gun. No!
Powerful Ronald Ray gun. So we get the flashback again, zapping along.
Oh, I like that comic strip. That really adds to it. It's good.
Mm. Actually, it sort of slides across, doesn't it? It's not, I can't remember, was it Cambric Green or was it Chigley that had those? Anyway, it was one of them, wasn't it?
It was Cambric Green.
All right, okay. So they're heading straight for Mars. And Dale's thinking, ooh, I'm dressed for Mars.
Yeah, I was dressed for Mongo, but maybe not for Mars.
But don't forget, this is all supposed to be green tinted.
Yes. That would have been a clue, wouldn't it? If you know you were green.
Mm. Well, it's interesting because when you get to Mars, you'd think it would all be red filters, wouldn't you? Everything about Mars you always think is red, red.
No,
red,
no,
red, red,
I
red,
think
red,
of it as green. No, Mars is green. Green little green
a
thing.
A verdant world?
Aliens. No, no, not as verdant, just as green in terms of alien things. I know what you mean about Mars planet being red, but... No, you're wrong.
Oh. I think did Dale hit her head then, or was she just holding her eye? Was she got a bit of a migraine?
I think it was holding head acting, yeah.
Ah, because they did do a bit of a spin, didn't they?
Yeah.
Ah, Ming's watching the telly with his men, or with Azura and her man.
Now, this is a different screen to the one that the man does at the start, because it's higher up. He's having to reach. He's going to get repetitive strain injury.
But little dome hats as well, which are rather fun.
They are cute. Mm. They've come
now,
to
is that,
observe.
Is that Ming's outdoor outfit? Because it's a lot paler, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
He seems to have he sort of his Bernie in or whatever
I
it
think
is.
It's
not Bernie
it's outside
in.
And it's sun.
It's a bit like, you know, what's it, the bathrobe from the hotel. It's his Mars hotel bathrobe that he's stolen because he's evil.
Exactly. Oh, fun fact about Beatrice Roberts. She was the long-term girlfriend of Louis B. Mayer of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. Yes.
So many.
By which I mean probably mistress. But I'm not certain. But...
Anyway, so they've all mansplained to her now what they're trying to do to the nitron lamp.
Well, you have to with women. It's the only way they understand, Martin, in the 1930s.
Indeed. They're all in very pale outfits. They've all gone for very, very light tones. That's the filters.
I think it is. It's odd, isn't it? Because it's not like... Maybe it's not... Yeah. It's a bit like in The Mind Robber when Jamie and Zoe have to wear all white. Mm. Oh, it's gone.
It's gone dark again when they've climbed into the spaceship. It's very chameleon like room.
Maybe it's just the light on Mars.
Outdoor light, very bright. Yeah. Oh, look at that. Look at that space station thing or airport or something. Lots of buildings.
Yeah.
With pointy bits. And with lightning bolted over to.
We do like the lightning bolt wipe, don't we? It's very good. And like this back shot of the ship is lovely.
Mm.
Oh, they're going to crash.
Anyway, they've crashed. Flash has crashed, however many spaceships he's crashing. Oh, look at the angle, though. He's climbing out
That's
of it.
Good.
Again, full-size prop, though, for the spaceship. You know, yeah. I mean, I know that was left over from the original, but, you know, they're not skimping on that. You know, they are. You know, it's not like a painting with a door in it, unless it's a painting with a door in it. But it's, you know, it looks like a proper, you know, properly sculpted full-size thing. You know.
Exactly.
And I'm Happy's carrying his camera.
I'm waiting for Flash to take his... not to take his top off. To take his hat off.
You're always waiting for Flash to take his top off. He has still got his flying helmet on, though, which... The flying helmets are not doing them any favours here, are they, really?
That's no, but it's...
Especially as you think...
It's never as bad as Wilma Deering, though, in Buck Rogers.
Yeah, true, but the thing that gets me is that why does Dale not get a flying hat when... I mean, Happy's got a hat. They've got flying hats. Dale, is it because of the hair? Is it to keep her hair sort of nice and safe?
She would have said, I'm not wearing that.
I'm not wearing
I
that.
Refuse.
Now, this is a very different design of spaceship that Queen Azura is in. So it's like the Royal Yacht or the Royal Barge.
I like that. The Valley of Desolation. That's a good name, isn't it? The Place of Death.
I think I've bought heavy metal albums called things like that.
Yes. Well, you would, wouldn't you?
Well, if you liked heavy metal albums.
Yes.
So the Valley of Desolation, oh gosh, it's actually quite biblical as well when you think about it.
Yes.
So they're circling, and our heroes are hiding behind some rocks in front of a... Is it a cavern? Is that a cavern? My picture quality has gone a bit rubbish. I don't
and
know
mine. Mine's terrible. Mm. Probably if people are watching along on the same version, this is... Do not adjust your set. We're all having the same problem.
that's a big fin. I'm not saying it's a big fin. I mean, the big fin on the back of the spaceship. Not the man in the very tall man with the hat. That's not who I meant. He's not Big Fin. But anyway, they found the wreck.
They have. And
it's funny actually when you think about it, because that in some ways that reminds me of the sculpt, oddly enough, for the derelict in Alien. It's kind of weird. You know? But anyway, Flash is about to do his. I think he's about to try and steal the other spaceship. Is by the looks of it.
This is a new.
I do
piece
love
of music.
These spaceships. You know when you can get those die-cast sort of Starship Enterprise and things. Someone should do a range of die-cast little Flash Gordon
should.
Spaceships.
They're missing
because
a
they
trick.
Are all beautiful objects, really.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got some sneaking acting now. Although Happy is about to basically make a cock up. I think he's there to basically be the idiot. So you've got they've got the sort of stuff. Well, a bit like Space 1999, different angle guns, you know? The guns that they hold, they have to hold so the cylinder is on their knuckles kind of thing.
We
so
did a space murder mystery once and we had guns like that. It was
oh,
fun.
Wow. Okay. Yes.
We did.
It got a bit
silly that night.
He's been held up by Flash.
Yes.
Flash had put
costume.
The banana in the exhaust.
Look, he's got
thing.
Flash on his costume. Flash Gordon would be well up for having that as his top.
Yes, I feel he may be wearing one fairly soon. Luckily, all the men in Queen Azura's guard happen to have this Flash symbol on their front.
Yes.
It's almost like fate.
Yes,
has brought them together.
Coincidence.
Destiny. Destiny awaits.
Buster Crab is like, when do I get to take my clothes off? Oh, there's a fight. First fight. Good.
Well, I hadn't realised Azura was still inside the aeroplane.
She is.
In the barge. In her royal barge. Now, I think she'll do the magic disappearing thing, or what? Oh, Ming's still outside. Oh, now she's going to zap Ming. Oh, she's got him in her searchlight.
Wow. Azura's
she's going to double-cross Ming.
Oh, my God. She's going to kill Ming? Wow.
Oh, he's doing his running. Running Ming. Running Ming is an interesting thing. Strato sled. Now that's a word.
Now that was interesting that Azura was going to kill Ming there.
It certainly has that air. This is a surprise. Are all your Earthmen so violent? Answers on a postcard. I think you'd better get out of here. Ha ha! Flirty. And flashbang disappear again.
Yeah.
Right.
I love how he says, where'd she go? To no one. Oh, to the guy. I didn't see him standing there. I didn't realise there was a guy there.
Oh, I was there all along, not protecting the queen. Oh, and they took off and nearly knocked Ming over.
When
brilliant.
Ming ran over and he fell over.
I know.
So funny. Oh, I loved that scene. That was my favourite
scene
not,
so far. He doesn't really give you the Emperor Menace, does he? A lot of the time. He, you know.
Not in this one so far.
And now they've stopped to pick up their chums in the stolen space. I don't understand why his costume keeps changing colour. It's kind
it
of
does
weird,
though, doesn't it?
But I can say I think it might be to do with the filters.
Ming and his men.
I thought he was dead. Why? Because some madman told you he was.
Yeah, exactly. No, don't believe priests.
And he's on a different planet. He wasn't supposed to be in this at all.
That's the moral of the story. Don't listen to priests, ever.
No, mad priests are not worth listening to. Or even sane ones. Oh,
exactly.
A bit of politics there, sorry.
A bit of religion, I think.
Well, religion and politics, who knows? Should never talk about it. Not on a podcast.
No, anyway, the holding, stop it.
The holding the man in the big hat at gunpoint. He's flying the Strato sled for them.
I like how Happy knows that Ming's a big shot over on Mongo and just accepts that this is a world that exists.
Ah, now, you see, Zarkov thinks Ming has conquered Mars, but he's merely an ally. The man with the hat has explained. He is merely their ally.
Ah. I'm glad you're following the story.
He's a bit of a weird one, though, this guard, because he's now looking very suspicious, but no one's looking at him, and he's just doing his shifty side eye. And Happy is about to basically fuck it all up for everybody. So. Oh, he's just picked up a massively mysterious weapon.
A big weapon as well.
While no one was looking.
I do not think...
Dale's just done the tap on the shoulder. Watch him. But it's too late.
I don't think that was Happy's fault at all.
Happy got distracted.
No,
Happy got
they were
distracted.
All distracted. They were all watching at the side. I'm sorry. They all should know.
Yes, but Happy was the one who was left on guard. You see. Now they just chucked somebody out the window. Oh, he's not out the window. Oh, he's jumping out the window. This will be interesting because I think what we get here is the first use of the Batwing.
Oh yes, we like a Batwing. Good.
So they keep these wings under their costumes. So they basically are Hawkmen when all said.
Now all the cast are still in their original Earth gear, and it just feels very weird into episode two. You'd feel like there'd be a reason for them to have changed costume.
Yeah. It's a quite nice two-piece that Dale has got on, though, isn't it? Let's be fair.
No, it's dull. No, I mean, it's all fine if you're going down...
It's a sensible two-piece. We want basically the bikini tops again, don't we? That's the thing.
Well, we definitely want something with a bit of pizzazz.
And he's also got one of those, it looks like one of those really over-the-top water pistols that people have, doesn't it? It's a proper stick-things-on weapon. Yeah, real stick ping-pong balls on it and fins and God knows what. It's small dragons, got dragon fins.
Look, there's another one of those dials that he's using, Zarkov, like the one Zoe moves in Seeds of Death.
Mm.
The heating control on the moon.
Yeah. He does like his central heating, doesn't he, Zarkov?
He does.
He's now had to work out how to fly this thing.
I reckon Zarkov and Flash were arguing about the heating bill back when they lived together on Earth.
Yes. Now, this is the Nitron lamp, of course, and they're about to observe the Nitron lamp. And try not to fly in the beam, old sport.
Well, they're running forward.
Mm-hmm. Let me see. This is Flash saying, let's not take any chances. You take nothing but chances. Oh, but a whole fleet of Strator sleds have taken off. So there's going to be a proper space battle now.
Of course.
So Lucas is going to take... So I reckon we've established Batwings. I reckon Batwings are going to come in handy.
I think they are as well.
Well, did I say they are flying in the Royal Barge, and she did do a flash to disappear thing. So I imagine that they know, you know. Oh, blimey neck!
Extreme close up.
Yeah, that looked like it was going to. Those models are pretty.
They've spent some time
hold
on
up.
Those effects. They're no worse than Doctor Who in the '70s, are they?
No, absolutely not. And I mean, I know. I mean, one of the things that annoyed me about my DVD version was the fact that they'd made. Of Buck Rogers, actually, not of this one, but they'd made a point of putting the spaceships on sticks on the graphics, you know, the fake artificial modern graphic. And I just thought, well, that's just taking the piss out of your own product,
exactly,
you know?
Don't do that. Just.
Oh, he's brought one down with his revolver,
he's fired a
automatic.
Revolver at the strata sled, and that was it.
Out of the window and bought. Oh, and it's clattered to the ground like an old dish tray.
It was like a tea tray, wasn't it?
Mrs. Overall.
Yes. And do I spy a new tray, Mrs. O? Yes. Yes, it's a lovely shade of mauve.
I do love the curly door. You've got the double doors with the curl in the middle. I do think that's lovely.
Yeah.
Anyway, those who are on Nitron gun duty, and they're now being given a bit of sighting. This is all a bit of training for the kids. You've got a war in a couple of years, mate.
Oh, God,
so you
yes.
need to know left a bit, right a bit, up a bit,
yeah,
down a
that's
bit.
That's all you need to know. Ooh.
We're not quite sure. Flash seems very pleased with this gun, but he's zapping other aeroplanes now.
Why did he drop the pistol for that? Just because it's
because he I think someone basically said, "Why don't you try this?"
Oh, because I see. You've
used all your bullets.
Yeah.
Because as we all know, weapons useless in the end. But unless you need to shoot down bad guys.
Painting room.
Yeah, I think actually what I would like more in this, I don't think you get much of it. But it's like you feel that Ming and Azura should be the old married couple bit, and I think this is one of the scenes where it kind of works, really. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know anybody who insists you bow all the time. There's something wrong with their regime.
Oh, absolutely.
But the thing is, I mean, you get that if you go to Book House. You know, it's all the nonsense you have to. Well, not I've ever been.
Yeah, like the last time I was at Book House.
Oh, on the telly this week is a strangely. A hairless-chinned youth.
Yes.
Who's obviously the captain of captain of the guard or whatever.
Yeah.
Ooh, to cross the borders of the clay people is certain death.
Yeah, but maybe they're in a bad mood because you turn them into clay people, you bitch.
Hmm. Well, it's certain death for everybody she sends there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now this
magnificence.
Yes, your magnificence. You get called your magnificence much.
I do actually. In fact, I demand that at home.
Oh, okay. Is that over breakfast or
yes? Yes.
What would you like for your breakfast, your magnificence? Anyway, yeah.
This is the same place they landed before, isn't it?
Yeah, the patrol are going to follow them. And therefore they are doomed. They are a doomed patrol. Now it makes you think actually that the patrol are very, very loyal. Now, I suppose it's more to do with the fact that everybody who isn't loyal gets turned into a clay person anyway.
That was
anyway.
One of the worst landings we've seen so far. It did look like it was like it'd been thrown onto the sand at that point.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, Zarkov's got a gun and he's still got some bullets. So that's good. But he's just shooting wildly at the sky.
Whether he beat Alexis or Hans, we still don't know.
But here comes the entire patrol of Azura's flying men who are all doomed. They're all doomed because they've now gone into the clay kingdom. And they know they're doomed. This is the interesting thing. They've still gone anyway. Don't you think that's incredibly brave of them?
Or stupid.
That thing where you know you're doomed, but you do it anyway.
Well,
because I mean, that's what happened in Arnhem. You know, there's something. There's a story somebody tells about the second wave at Arnhem are the ones who are really the heroes because the first wave all got wiped out, and then the second wave went anyway.
Even though they knew that all their compatriots had died. Yes. Yeah. Oh, he's got a big gun.
He's going to bring down a rock fall.
That's very handy, the way those rocks
to
have fallen.
Keep them away, but oh! Dale's had a quick faint scream. Faint scream. We should get t-shirts made, you know, scream faint, it's Dale. But he's bringing around. Walked out of the wall.
Does tapping on the hand work? Because I've seen this in films.
The clay in that wall seemed to come to life. Now, doesn't that remind you a little bit of Quatermass in the Pit, you know? He walked through the wall. Influences, of course, Mars and everything like that. Now, this is where we get the transformation
gorgeous.
Where the people appear out.
And does
that
music sound familiar
from
Star
music,
Wars?
Which is our new theme tune.
That music's like the Jawa music theme from Star Wars, stolen completely by Lucas later.
Mm. It's a lovely piece of music.
It's gorgeous, but it's so Star Warsy, it's amazing. Mm. I was so scared of the clay people when I was a kid, I can't
really?
Tell you.
Okay. Is it just the fact that they appeared out of the walls.
The walls, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also their gait as well, I think.
But there's that thing about, you know, are they actually made of clay? I mean, he's just shot at some and they just find it hilarious, which I like. The hilarious mime.
Silent laughing.
Yeah.
Why are they silent laughing? Because we know they can talk later, don't we?
Mm. I think it's just to add to the air of mystery, isn't it? But it's fascinating because this is... I don't know whether that was Zarkov's going to wear happy alls. See, they're Americans. They all have guns, don't they? You know? But, they've been trapped between some descending
types.
Spikes of death. Which still look better than the ones in the Keys of Marinus, to be fair.
Well, of course. This isn't Lime Grove Studio D, thankfully.
But we have many crowds. Many crowds.
Oh, shit. More stalactites coming
clay
down.
People.
Oh, wow.
And they're now in one of those descending proper doom endings. This is a proper serial doom, isn't
Brilliant.
It? The descending spikes. See the Queen of Magic, Chapter 3 of Flash Gun's Trip to Mars at this theatre next week.
We'll be there with bells
overlaid
on.
With hurricane pictures. Maybe that's why you remember the hurricane pictures.
It is, so it is. All the time. Gorgeous. Well, that was very, very exciting.
So, two chapters in. And this is proper perils of Pauline is what I was trying to think of. It's kind of like that. It's a cliched end episode. I mean, they used it in the Indiana Jones films, didn't they? The spikes coming down from the ceiling. But I mean, I don't know whether this is the first, but it's certainly a trope of the weekly serial. And you know, you can see why they nick it. It's very effective. I mean, let's face it, you know. Whether or not as a punishment or it's even used in the titles of Captain Scarlet, isn't it? You know, the paintings at the end of Captain Scarlet. There's a spiky wall coming into
Captain
squash.
Scarlet. I don't know it. I'm sorry.
But it's kind of by the 60s it had become a cliche. But this, of course, is 1938. So whether or not previous serials had used it, I'm not sure. But it's a very powerful image. You know, how will your heroes escape?
Well, indeed. Indeed. And it's very exciting now we've got to the Clay Kingdom because it's different, it's mysterious. We saw someone turned into a clay person by Azira the other time, but we also know it's certain death to cross into the Clay Kingdom. So, trouble ahead.
Now, we don't know whether it's certain death in the sense that they just bump everybody off who comes there, or it's certain death because you get transformed, or only Azura can do the transforming. You see?
Yes, we don't
There's know. A lot of mystery around the Clay
The biggest
people,
mystery, and... though, is when will they get out of there? Goddamn awful outfits in from the 30s into some proper spacey costumes.
I imagine it'll be fairly soon, and I also imagine what's going to happen is that there are our heroes are going to get knocked out and mysteriously wake up in different clothes. So somebody somewhere undresses Flash and dresses him. This may not happen, but I feel that there's a lot of. It's only really when Dale sort of gets. Wibbly wobblied with some incense of something or other.
Yeah.
She always seems to wake up in a different outfit and no one sort of bats an eyelid.
That's a bit rapey. Somewhere. I don't like the sound of that.
Someone somewhere has undressed Dale and put her in a different gown that they like more. It's also
not a little bit
manipulative in that, you know, I want you to wear the gown I've chosen.
Yes. Dirty.
But that's a whole different psychology that probably isn't really intended in Flash Gordon. So.
But which happily tripped off your tongue, I notice, Holmes.
I've known some creepy people. And on that bombshell.
Yes, we will be back for Queen of Magic. You have to do the hand gesture. Queen of Magic.
Queen of Magic. And the inverted commas.
Yeah, and you have to disappear after you've done it as well. That's important.
Boom.
Yeah.
I'll have to get the bang noise off the soundtrack.
Please do.
I shan't.
We'll be back next Saturday for Chapter 3 of Flash Gordon's Trip to Mars.
Queen of Magic! Yes. Bye!
Join us next time for another exciting episode of Space Soldiers, a Flash Gordon commentary podcast with Andy Priestner and Martin Holmes.
Take care.
That was a nice little final little moment of that. Yeah, we do care about you, listeners.
Oh, I was thinking it was more by Crime Watch.
Oh, yeah, yes. Don't have nightmares.
Don't have nightmares.